Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, pro wrestling legend Jim Ross and Kevin Sorbo. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a round of totally topical Tebow trivia time today. And now, baby, baby, don't get hooked on him. Adam Carolla.
Yeah. I'll just use you and then I'll set you free.
What?
That's right. Little Mac Davis for your ass. Get it on, man. Got to get it on. No choice but on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. That's what we love about you, man. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
It's so damn hot.
Yeah. I don't go nuts with all the global warming, but
milk was a bad choice.
I do say every single year, it's Halloween. Yeah. It's Halloween, and I'm burning. It's Halloween. And I never remember in the past, especially when I was like school age, that it would be this hot, like well into October.
Yeah, it's and 103 today.
There's a thing, and it may be a little hotter tomorrow. There's a weird thing, and I'm going to file this under things I make up. Mm. Like, Lynette thinks that Phil eating something spicy causes his seizures, right, and even possibly the full moon. Those are a father.
It's a delicate combination.
Things she makes up. This is my makeup. I have this feeling, and it always feels this to me every year, that summer out in SoCal has a strong push before it goes out.
Yeah.
It never seems just to coast to a stop. Like, what would make sense?
Like thrashing before dying.
Yes. Yeah. And I wish I would.
a death rattle.
What makes sense is it's hottest on July 19th. Mm-hmm. And then every day after that, it starts to kind of taper down as we coast into the winter, or the way the earth is rotating or moving, or where the sun is, or we change the clocks back or whatever.
It's not a direct line, but weekly it goes downwards.
But it feels to me like every October and somewhere around Halloween, it gives one last surge. Like, everybody go. Like, it was one last, if it was a Viking ship, like, everyone just row your ass off for, like, the last mile. Like, it has that feeling because it's not, it doesn't do a, oh, it's unseasonably warm, which would be 93 degrees. It's 106. Like, ugh. And then it tries as hard as it can, and then it kind of falls off. Yeah. Right.
Indian summer, bro.
Big push at the end, Broseph. All right.
Indigenous people's summer.
We will, I got lots of stuff to talk about here. First, funny, when I was playing Nashville at the Polk Theater, it's always fun to talk to the stage people and find out what's on whose rider. Mm-hmm. Like, you just get stuff. These club owners and stuff, they'll just tell you where it's like, oh, Eddie Griffin, brand new pair of white Nikes. Had to be white, had to be brand new, had to be Nikes. And then you'd be like, so you'd have to buy him a pair of white Nikes? Oh, no, we'd have to buy him seven.
Several.
Yeah. Like every night.
Yeah. He needed a brand new pair of white Nikes, and he'd get picked up at the limo, but the limo had to be white if he wasn't. And it was like, there's a kind of a thing, which is, it is kind of white privilege of not being concerned with any being mistreated or missed whatever. Or you got to show me respect. That is the one white privilege thing that I have, which is send the guy who is the prep guy in the kitchen to come get me in his Tercel.
Yeah.
I don't care as long as I can get that. I don't need. By the way, my respect will come in the form if you give me a paycheck before I leave. Like, I don't need the respect with this or whatever.
I'd love it if I wasn't wedged in between two laundry hampers, but it's not a deal breaker.
Oh, it has happened. Yeah. So that was Eddie Griffin. We've heard some good ones. Here's an interesting one.
Sure.
And a guy who's not on your list of these things, Chris Rock.
Right.
Chris Rock, according to one of the people who worked at the theater in Nashville, needed a specific picture of Prince framed and in his dressing room. So you need not a picture of Prince. It can't be Prince on the toilet. It's got to be a certain picture of Prince, and it needs to be framed, and it needs to be on display in the dressing room because that's who he aspires to be, or that's who motivates him. Now, unclear why he can't take that picture of Prince and put it in his travel bag with him or have one of his other guys set it up. And this person had to go scour around for this picture of Prince. Unclear which one. I think he may have been wearing eyeliner. So we narrowed it down to every picture of Prince.
Would this be a brown M&M situation?
That was my first thought.
Like, is he either punking them or just seeing if they're paying attention?
Yeah, that was the whole green M&M thing, or brown, whatever it was, with Van Halen, was, you know, we put it in the rider to make sure they're reading the whole thing, because there's a safety issue.
So I don't get electrocuted.
And all that, so.
Well, I do get that, and now it's one of those, it makes sense. Like, hey, you know, when people do get burned on stage. They do fall through trap doors. I mean, they get horribly injured through all the pyrotechnics and all the stuff, the bells and whistles that are going on up there, except for he doesn't have that in the show.
He does pace a lot.
So he does a lot of pacing. I just thought it was funny.
That's oddly specific.
I didn't see that for him.
Yeah. Did not see that for him. Haven't labeled it full douche, but it's partial douche. And all right. So I just thought you'd want to share that with you.
Does it embolden you to ask for anything else? I mean, just
besides a half a pot of coffee.
Yeah, half a pot of coffee, some Miller Lights, and a veggie platter. Yeah, exactly. Just know that the ceiling is so much higher than you're even shooting for.
I also have. So my rider is coffee, couple of Miller Lights,
Bottle
of red wine, and the veggie platter, which is just this thing with the ranch dressing on it. That's always a little confusion of how, is it right side up or upside down? It's always a little confusion.
We get it.
Yeah.
You're very fancy.
Now, oatmeal cookies are on that rider, but that's for Mike August. But I think I'm pulling the oatmeal. I want to pull the oatmeal cookies off there because inevitably they get crappy oatmeal cookies, and then I got to hear Mike complain about it. And it's bumming me out.
Yeah.
I don't like
cookies aren't up to par.
You know, these are supposed to be
soft bake.
There's two scenarios. It's either bad oatmeal cookies that he then complains about. And I get in the wrong headspace when I take the stage, hearing his complaining voice echoing in my head as I take the stage.
There's that. And or there's, why are there bits of cranberry in my oatmeal cookie? Oh. So there's two types of dissatisfaction Mike has with oatmeal cookies. It's these are hard and bad. And or why are there pieces of cranberry in my oatmeal cookie? And then a third one, which is a little bit of a...
Why so few?
A little controversy over frosting. Should the oatmeal cookies have the white glazed frosting on them, or shouldn't they have the white glaze? Now, I argue...
White glaze is a sign of...
It's a corset, an aging porn star. Mm. Like, you're covering something up with that
oatmeal
glaze.
You're up the snuff.
Yeah. Yes. The real... The best ones... The best oatmeal are a little bit thicker in the middle, and they have a little bit of bend to them, a little give. Chew. And if they could do that for Mike, it'd be a better day. But they never, they always disappoint. And I feel
and he finishes them every time, surrounded by crumbs.
Is Mike aware that he's not performing?
I don't know. I think he looks at that as a performance.
He's the opening act.
The middle.
I also think that he should switch to peanut butter cookies, because I feel like the batting average on peanut butter cookies are better than oatmeal cookies, because even bad peanut butter cookies are good.
Yep.
Even Nutter Butter, like just bargain basement, whatever, store-bought with a slice of whatever.
Correct.
A thing of peanut. They're still good because you're tasting peanuts. Yep. You can never... Peanuts... are the bacon of dessert. You do peanut anything and it's just better. Yeah. It's just better. And agreed. I really never really had a peanut butter cookie that I didn't think was good.
They make
good peanut butter cookies, but oatmeal...
With those crisscross marks on top?
Oatmeal can get chalky and dry and hard, right. And you lose it.
Your floor is higher with the peanut butter cookies. You're risking less.
Yes. All right. I should explain why we bumped the Bakersfield a day, and I will tell you that in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock, man. It's been 1 month since the Equifax breach. If you're among the millions of people who are affected, your info could have been out there for months and months. That's right. We just found out about it, but it's been going on. Thieves can buy your info on the dark web, use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, even steal from your 401k. Now, it's time. Let's get some protection with LifeLock. I've got it. You should get it as well, people. Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and will alert you if your info is being used. But don't worry, it won't get used because you'll have LifeLock. In case there is a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. But again, you got the best in your corner. And it's 2017, you're online buying those oatmeal cookies all day long. You want to protect yourself.
One of these has got to be good.
You want to go with the best. Yeah, you want to go with LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
Well, all right.
I hope to God that Sonny isn't back in the hospital.
He's fine.
Oh, good. Thank God.
It's just fun watching Lynette freak out every time he moves. You're going to crack your skull. By the way, can we have doctors that had different settings for women, for like the mother rather than the husband?
The empathy bots?
Yeah, because what happens is the doctor goes, he's got a hairline fracture of his skull, and if he took another hit... that could cause permanent damage and blah, blah, blah. What, you know, he won't be out of the woods until November 15th. So Lynette's thing is like, know anything until November 15th.
Well,
now, I know that he has a hairline crack, but we can go in the backyard and play catch with the football, and that's not going to endanger the whatever. And also, this date is not like a hard date. Like, hey, November 15th on the 16th, 6 a.m., we're going on a toboggan run. Like, it's just a date. It's a kind of they pick a date 3 weeks from now, and they randomly throw it out there, but it's become a date that is circled on the calendar.
10 p.m. on the 14th, he wants to jump off his bed.
No.
Right. What are you doing?
I'm just saying.
Look at the clock.
We need the doctor. And by the way, they will say things like, I mean, you'll get guys on the phone going, whew, he took a hit. Like, I mean, stuff like, you need all right. They got the dog whisperer, right?
Yeah, Cesar Millan.
Don't they have a horse whisperer, too?
That's a guy.
That was a movie with Robert Redford.
Yeah. All right. We need the wife whisperer. Where the guy's like sitting there, he's in his lab coat and everything. He's got the stethoscope over the shoulder.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why. It's too much work to hook it around your neck. You got to toss it around your shoulder.
Devil may care.
At a moment's notice. You
he's sitting stethoscope. There and he's sucking off a spleef. You know, he's like, you want to hit? Hey, take the tension off. Anyway.
It's medicinal.
Kid's cool. I don't see any real problems. We're all going to die anyway. Yeah. Either way, you know, let him do a little this, but not too much that. All right. I'll see you on the other side, bros. And then they go out the door.
Chill doc.
Chill doc. That's right.
I like that.
That won't enrage her.
That's right.
It might set her mind at ease.
Set her mind at ease with chill doc. That's right. All right. Let's see.
So the show.
The show. So I enter this time of year, every year around this time of year, in fear. In fear of missing a Seth MacFarlane event. Mm-hmm. His parties are always the best. He's the best. And I just got over the sting of actually Jimmy's Vegas birthday party was canceled because his son Billy has to get a secondary operation. Oh, one they knew was coming on his heart, but it was too close to where. So we scrapped that. And I walk and I think and I worry and I go, because every single year I go, I get the invitation. And the problem is Seth doesn't give you a big heads up. He gives you like 5-6 days.
Wow.
And then he tells you, we're transforming his house into a winter wonderland and, Happy Kind and the Mirthmakers are going to be the band and I'm going to be up on stage and all your favorite celebrities are going to be there. And then.
So this party, there's clearly months in the making. You find out about 5 days ahead of time?
Yes.
You're on the B-list, my friend.
I'm on the B-list.
You're on the B-list.
You had to see who else couldn't come.
And then I get the thing, and I always get it. It's the same way with Fondalier gives it to me. It's like, when is it? It's, it's December 27th. And I go, what's going on? And he goes, hold on. Oh, you're going to be in Fresno. You're going to be in Fresno at the Comedy Basement. You're going to be down there doing nine sets at the Comedy Basement in Fresno.
We already sold out for 8 of those shows.
God damn it. No, I snap a pencil. So this time, it's Seth's party. He's his birthday party, and he's throwing it at this big hotel in downtown or Beverly Hills and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, awesome. And then Matt does the, hold on, let me check what's going on. And then he does the, oh, you'll be in Bakersfield. And I was like, damn it. And I thought, damn, I always miss these parties. I always want to go. And I have a lot of thoughts. Like, why is he throwing his party on Thursday?
And not in Bakersfield.
And why is he in Bakersfield? It's God's country over there.
Hey, Seth, I got an idea for you.
And I start talking to him. I start talking to Matt. How long from Bakersfield to Beverly Hills?
Like 2 hours,
you know, blah, 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 blah. And then at a certain point, I made my peace with it. Okay, damn it. And then I thought, wait a minute. I wonder if we could just shift the show from Thursday to Friday. And then I justified it. This is recon for the show.
Okay.
I mean, I could run into Charlize Theron and we could have her in the following Monday.
Oh, that's big.
At the very least, it'll be content galore.
Content galore. So I rationalized it that way. I felt bad for you guys and everyone else.
Well, it's a small price to pay to move the show if Brian and I are coming to the party.
I actually don't mind it in that case.
Yeah, that, then it's fine.
I felt bad.
These
and
are my
then
kids,
I,
Brian and Gina.
So I will keep you guys posted. But the show is Friday, and thus to go to the Seth MacFarlane party.
This party better be good.
On Thursday, I will write down everything.
We need stories and potentially pictures. You know, a couple selfies here and there.
I will
great
get on
with
it.
The selfie, but Lynette's got to work it. We need. I'm not saying a pound of flesh. Yeah. I'm saying 8 ounces of flesh.
Okay. I'm with you. And
you're putting the good people at Bakersfield off by a night. I'll give up a Friday night to come see, hear the stories of Seth MacFarlane.
I agree. I would be loaded for bear. Yeah. All right. So let's see. Another thing that's happening on Thursday is this Paul Newman watch is going off on this Phillips Gallery. If anyone is out in Manhattan and you're right in the middle of the place, you can see my car. And Paul Newman and my watch. Go ahead, Gary, if you got it. You can throw up.
Hey, how'd that get there?
You probably look at the outside first. Probably makes more sense. But the it's right in the middle of Manhattan, and
looks like Columbus Circle.
They auction off watches.
We get it, you know New York.
And they brought they brought my watch out there. They brought my car, I should say, out there to display with said watch. The record is $11 million, and they think maybe it'll break the record, but they don't know yet. Had a funny interview about it with the guy from GQ this morning. Had this, so the watch goes off on Thursday.
The watch is for auction. Your car is there for
to display.
Yeah,
gotcha.
If you guys want to go check it out, you can go check it out, take a picture, and send it to us. It'd be appreciated. All right. Had the conversation. Oh, you want to play? You want to play the TiVo game? Yeah, let's play the TiVo.
Fun.
Great.
Let's do that. Let's do it before. I want to play this game.
Let's play Totally Topical TiVo Trivia Time. Today.
It's been a while. Do we have to give a refresher?
Yeah, we should. You should do that.
Okay, these are actual movies that are on TV, and these are the actual TiVo descriptions, minus any names of actors or things like that, and we'll try and guess first to chime in with their name. We'll guess the title of the movie from the description.
Okay. So the actual TiVo description minus the actors or things that would give things away. Now, what's my name? Bert?
Pete.
Or Pete, yeah. Pete. Adam's too soft, so I'm going to go with...
You've been burned by getting the Adam.
Yeah, so I'll chime in with Pete. Brian usually dominates here. I'll tell you about Simply Safe first before we jump into this. Oh, I understand why some of you may be putting off your home security. Slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installation. Why bother? Well, you should bother. Just go with Simply Safe. It's easy these days. You get the Simply Safe home security system, peel and stick, 3M tape, stays. By the way, I've had this stuff up for 2 years. It doesn't go anywhere. You put it on your front door, open it, slam it as many times as you like. Nowhere does it go. Top of the line protection, no long-term contracts or hidden fees. Just order it online, set it up in an hour, get your family protected, 24/7 protection. You get 10% off. You go to Simply Safe, two I's in there, simplysafe.com/Adam. Get your 10% off. Put your kit together. They'll ship it to you. You have it up and running in under an hour. Dawson has it. I have it. Mike August has it. Or you can check out Simply Safe at your local Best Buy. But go to simplysafe.com/Adam and save yourself 10%. All right, Dawson.
All right, and good timing there because today's game is brought to you by Simply Safe.
There you go.
Here we go. A motor-mouthed high school security guard joins his girlfriend's brother, a decorated police officer, on a ride-along.
Brian.
Pete.
It's got to be a ride-along.
From 2014. Go ride-along ride-along.
I didn't realize that Kevin Hart was a high school security guard.
Did not know that part of it. Yeah. All
right. Okay.
All right.
An ex-army officer who returns to his small hometown...
Pete. Oh, damn. I want to say Rambo, First Blood, but that wasn't his hometown.
Yeah, he was drifting.
Just drifting. Sorry.
Oh, you lock, by the way, for the audience, you lock yourself out once you venture a guess.
And becomes sheriff to fight a war against vice and corruption.
Pete.
No.
Walking Tall.
Is it Walking Tall?
It is Walking Tall from 2004.
That's half a point.
Too bad.
No, it is not.
Oh, man. It's weird that we just did Walking Tall. That's a weird... Who put Walking Tall on there?
I believe it was Dylan.
Does it? Okay. Well, see, let me explain something. The first one we did had Ride Along in the title, so to go on a ride along with the name was Ride Along, and then the second one was weird because we did it 4 days ago.
We've been sitting on this game for a little while.
Oh, okay.
I should have caught that and taken it out, but when he wrote this game,
it and take it out. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. I got you.
Three female office workers.
Pete.
Wow.
Nine to five.
From 1980. Wow. It is 95. Wow.
Strong.
Come on, that's this. Dolly, man.
I know. I screwed this up. Do that one again.
As Earth's atmosphere grows inhospitable to human life, a team of astronauts embark on a dangerous mission through a wormhole.
Brian, this is the Matthew McConaughey film.
What's it called, though?
I don't know what it's called.
The follow-up to Inception for Christopher Nolan. Interstellar.
From 2014, it is Interstellar.
Hmm.
I thought this game would be super easy.
I never saw this movie.
You never saw it? You never saw Inception. Inception, much better.
Inception's amazing.
If you're ever between the two, Inception is a fine film.
Okay.
Modern day fairy tale about the lead singer of a heavy metal
team.
Brian. Kind of. Pete.
Rockstar.
From 2001, it is Rockstar.
Wow. If it makes feeling better, I was going to guess something else.
Oh, good. I got 2.5.
Who has 3? I have it at 2-2.
Yeah, I have 2.
Okay.
I got nothing.
So 2.5 or 2?
Okay, yeah. No, I have a rival. Okay.
In this fascinating documentary, two South African music lovers.
Brian.
Pete.
Oh, this is Searching for Sugar.
Yes, it is.
Oh, damn it.
From 2012.
Great movie.
Yep.
I saw this in the theater, and for some reason, it's a cue to other theater goers when the music starts. And by the way, the music is important in this movie because no one's ever heard of this guy, at least our age.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's like that's the impetus for all the biddies to start talking. I thought that was really no one start talking. We're listening to the music of a guy we've never heard of, who's the subject of the documentary.
I agree.
Sorry, had to get that off the chest.
A high schooler unwittingly gains access.
Brian,
really?
War Games.
From 1983.
Wow.
It is War Games.
I
never saw this movie.
What?
This is a good movie.
Global Thermal Nuclear War.
Never.
Yeah.
This game's hard. I haven't gotten one yet.
It's really not that hard.
I hate you.
Two mild-mannered cousins search for a beloved pet kitten.
Pete.
Gina.
Pete.
Kilo or Milo
movie.
Or whatever.
Milo, yeah. Kilo.
Whatever that stupid... Keanu.
Damn it!
From 2016, it is Keanu.
I love this movie. Nah. Oh, that was so
it's
funny.
All right.
I loved it.
Couple good parts.
Amid the confusion at the end of the Gulf War.
Front. This is for sure Three Kings.
From 1999.
I was going to say Three Kings.
Three Kings.
Underrated.
Is this Stephen King?
No, this is early David O. Russell, and it's Mark Wahlberg. And,
Stephen King story.
What's his face?
I was going to say Three Kings.
Fine film.
Cosmic Outlaws.
Pete.
Wow.
Cosmic Outlaws. I'm going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy.
From 2014.
Ooh, that's what I was
going to
say.
Nice.
A self-centered man learns he has an autistic older brother.
Gina. Finally, Rain Man.
Nope.
What?
From 1988, Rain Man.
Yeah.
Here's our last one.
Okay. Great.
Two buddies from New Jersey. One, a loudmouth extrovert. The other, a mild-mannered nice guy. Hit the mall.
Brian.
Gina.
Brian.
Mallrats.
From 1995, and for the win, it is Mallrats.
There you go.
I've been humbled. I did not think that was going
to
be hard.
Again, today's game brought to you by Simply Safe.
All right. There
we go.
Tune in for more Totally Topical TiVo Trivia Time tomorrow.
Tuesday. What was the score? Brian at 5, 6?
Brian ended up with 6, Adam with 4.5, and Gino with a glorious 1.
Wow, number one, baby.
Walking tall. All right.
We should play that game more often.
No. It's fun. All right. Jim Ross is on the blower. Slobberknocker, name of the book. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Adam.
Good to speak to you, man.
Sir, thank you.
Hall of Fame, WWE commentator, former EVP talent relations, and guy who's been around, seen a lot, discovered a lot of folks, right? Down there, were you down there when The Rock got started?
I actually signed The Rock. I signed John Cena, Brock Lesnar, several of the big top stars, Kurt Angle, Dave Bautista. Good run for us in our department.
Wow. How, I mean, the thing about I guess, in a way, what you do is you see these guys. So it's like, it's kind of weird, like with comedians or musicians, it's kind of hard to tell, like, who's going to be a star and who's not going to be a star. But when you see Batista or The Rock, you can kind of, at least you're halfway there. When you see Brock Lesnar, you're halfway there because of his physicality. But then how do you know about the other stuff?
You got to get to know them, and I think that's really important. You can't do it by direct messaging and texting. You got to get your ass up and go see them and learn as much about them as you can, including their personal life, as much as they will allow you in, so that you don't bring some goof into your locker room. I knew Rock was the guy because obviously he passed the eye test. He's 6'4", 270. He's very had a very exotic look. Great smile, educated. We went to a little Cuban restaurant in South Florida on my recruiting visit with him, and we sat down this place. He ordered his traditional grilled chicken, black beans, rice, health stuff. And every woman in that restaurant came by to see if we needed something else to drink. And some of those women didn't even work there. They just wanted to get a good look at the Rock. And so I'm thinking, then I got these guys dropping by my table, said, "Hey, JR, who's this big guy?" So now I know that men aren't in awe of him so much they are feel threatened by him. He was the guy, man. He's just, and of course that's been proven out, and he's doing amazing things. One last thing.
Yeah.
His company is called $7 Entertainment.
His company.
He said, I'd like to buy you lunch. I got $7 to my name.
Wow.
I knew then two things. He was honest, and he needed the money. And we negotiated a good deal, and he came in and blew it out the water. But his production company's not called $7 Entertainment, and kind of get a kick out of that when you go back and watch the Ballers or something, and you see his work.
Yeah. He's got 1,000 times that much today. Maybe more.
Hey. Maybe you push in his cabinet and becomes president.
Oh, yeah. You think he's going to run for president, Jim?
Well, look, we'd go to a whole different choice on this conversation. Why the hell couldn't he? That's my question.
I don't know.
The question. That's not very good. Damn right he should run for president.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think my feeling with a guy like that is his work ethic is so insane. Yep. He is so disciplined, and he got... There are plenty of big dudes out of high school, out of college. It's how do you want to take acting classes? Mm-hmm. Are you going to live in the gym? Do you want to drink a lot and stay out, or you want to go home and learn your lines? Right. And that's what makes that guy successful. There's just no doubt in my mind. But the same with all the Cenas and the Batistas, right? It's all that ethic, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if they haven't developed a work ethic, like when I knew Rock's grandfather, I knew his father, they're both great wrestlers, but then you go back to Miami where he played football, you can talk to his coach, his position coach, his strength coach, his academic counselor. You've got a whole hell of a lot of information about this guy. But it starts with a work ethic. And you find out there he was the hardest workout guy in the gym at his college. So I got pretty much all I need to know. Let's get him going and see what he can do.
You also says here that you're guaranteeing that Conor McGregor is going to participate in the WWE.
Well, my guarantee doesn't mean a hell of a lot, much like our president's dialogues. But nonetheless, I believe that there's too much money floating around for Conor McGregor to make a special one-off, well-promoted appearance at an event, let's say WrestleMania at some point in time. There's too much money out there, Adam. I mean, and we all know, when people say, "Oh, it's not about the money," come on. It's all about the money.
Well, how?
And McGregor's the capitalist. He's going to want to make the cash. Plus, he's got a great ego. Plus, they'll make him the star. They'll make him a hero. He'll have a conquering moment. It'll be great.
What? I can never, first off, where are we in terms of wrestling and wrestler popularity in 2017? Is this... Are we at the pinnacle? Was it higher when it was crazy in the 80s and 90s? Or where are we in this day and age of pro wrestling?
It seems as if the business today is bigger than it has ever been. A lot of wrestlers, even outside of WWE, are making a damn good living. And that really wasn't the case 10 years ago. So the business in general is very, very healthy. But WWE, of course, is the Mac Daddy, much like you are to podcasting. They've got a big footprint, man.
That's me, Jim. You're getting a plug for that. Slobberknocker, man. My life in wrestling. Available, hold on Amazon as we speak. And go ahead and bookmark us so we can stay and keep that big footprint and buy. Bookmark us at amcroll.com and get on Amazon. Hey, so Jim, someone like Brock Lesnar, what kind of living can he make in pro wrestling versus the Octagon?
The Octagon, an individual big match main event in the Octagon will probably pay more than a similar booking in WWE. The difference is that he can go to cash many more checks during a calendar year than can an MMA guy. They're going to fight maybe 2-3 times a year.
Right.
Lesnar can theoretically work, you know, 6 or 8 big pay-per-view events for WWE. So at the end of the day, I'm thinking that he's swapping dollars for dollars and not getting his cage rattle quite as much.
And for a guy like Conor McGregor, say there's so much money he can make, does that mean by joining WWE or making – or doing one-off appearances, or how's that work?
I'm thinking a one-off major event appearance. At WrestleMania 24 a few years ago, it was the night that Ric Flair retired, but it was the night that Floyd Mayweather had a presentation with the Big Show. And it was well-orchestrated, nice little story told. There was a reason for it. They had their free TV confrontation. They paid it off on pay-per-view. I see the same thing with Conor McGregor. It'd be very easy for a bad guy wrestler to pop off, tell him to go grow up, put on some weight, shut up, get out, whatever. Easy, easy story to tell. They have a confrontation, then they settle it in a wrestling ring for big money. I just think it's such an organic thing. It's natural.
And what kind of payday do you think Conor could be looking at for that sort of scenario, or that Floyd did for that scenario?
Oh gosh, I think Mayweather made several million dollars. I mean, it wasn't like, look, nothing's going to be like the McGregor Mayweather pay per view. It ain't that.
No, I get it. You don't have to train for 6 months and you don't get punched in the head. It's kind of exactly. For these guys, it's pretty light lifting for an evening's
comparatively,
work.
Comparatively, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So I'm thinking he would probably walk away somewhere between 5 and 10 mil.
Jesus Christ. And you wonder, like, you know, I try to tell people all the time, you know, why is this guy doing that? Why is that guy? Why? He's got enough money. He doesn't need money. It's not really about that. It's everyone, especially in combat sports, they grew up poor. Everyone grew up poor. And you're not saying, do you need more money? You're saying, would you like to go out for one evening, you know, leave your house at 6 in the evening, you'll be home before midnight, and you'll have an extra $2 million in your pocket.
Yeah, you'll make more than your family made throughout history up to your birth.
You can't tell that to a poor person, even a guy like me. If you go, you're going to do this, you'll come home, you have $10,000 in your pocket. I go, okay. It's like, do you need $10,000? No. I just can't believe that was 6 months' work for my dad growing up. And by the way, I'm not going putting on roof shingles. You're going to tell jokes or jump off a turnbuckle. Yeah. Sorry, Jim. I had to go on a diatribe there.
You're exactly right. Like I said, it's easy for others to say he's got all the money he needs. I don't know that. I'm not his accountant. I'm not his lifestyle coach. I don't know what the hell he spends. All I know is that Conor McGregor, through his massive ego, and I say that in a positive way, is one of the greatest self-promoters in history. And his combination, his bringing his fan base in, and the WWE fan base, they got a big Connor's an international star. That's going to sell WWE Network subscriptions and pay-per-views. It's a match made in God dang Wells Fargo heaven, man. It's money.
Adam, for your next pitch throw, Conor McGregor's lifestyle coach. Conor, I have your monthly statement here. A second jeweled shillelagh?
Shillelagh.
The baby needs another three-piece suit.
You can see Jim Ross tonight. That is 7 p.m. Westfield Barnes & Noble in Skokie, Illinois. He's going to be signing his book, Slobberknocker, My Life in Wrestling. And that's tonight, as you hear this. That is 7 o'clock, Westfield Barnes & Noble, Skokie, Illinois. Hey, Jim, when you're and also check out his podcast, The Ross Report, as well. Jim, whenever you're in town, Los Angeles, come see us, and we'll get caught up on all that is pro wrestling.
I will, sir. I appreciate you having me on, and appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Yeah, in a weird way, Jim McMahon, and so Jim McMahon has to sort of be like Hugh Hefner was back in the day, Vince McMahon. Jim McMahon's a quarterback. Mm. Vince McMahon has to be like Hugh Hefner was, which is anybody who gets hot, anybody's in the news, any chick who's under 30 or under 50 who gets her, well, just ask her if she wants to pose for Playboy. Like, why not?
Offer a check.
Some will do it, some won't, whatever it is. But he just has to say who's in the news, who's around, who's whatever.
Who's going
to
get eyeballs?
That guy shot up Vegas. He's still alive?
Oh, God. No?
Okay. Well, all right.
Check back.
Off the list.
It's funny you ask about the popularity of wrestling. Totally anecdotally, like these days, Christy, who has no interest in wrestling and never has, grew up uninterested at all, loves the Divas and loves the Bella Twins and loves all the other female wrestling. That's like making a big thing because I got a reality show on E! Or whatever it is, and she loves all the whole thing. So it's definitely diversifying. You know what I mean? It's got platforms it never had before.
Well, and I grew up in the 80s in Kansas City, so we went to every Royal Rumble and cage match and battle royale and all those. So from historically, I couldn't imagine it getting bigger than it was in the mid 80s. But like you said, there's so many more outlets now. It must be.
I'm mystified by everybody in their childhoods and going places and doing things. And you would go to these things?
Yeah, well, my brother was huge into it. And so the little sister would beg to be brought along. And so I would get to go to all of them, too.
He'd buy the tickets. Would Mama drop him off or would they go with him?
Dad would take my brother and two of his friends and Gina, which the boys hated. And we'd go to every time the WWF came to Kansas City, we'd get to go.
I guess it's an interesting thing, which is, so I grew up in North Hollywood. So there wasn't really a lot of who's coming to town. Yeah. Everyone was just sort of here. So you didn't have that mandate where it's, hey, you got to go see this. They're coming to your town.
For us, it was always WWF for Andy and Ice Capades for Gina.
We had, to be fair, to fly in the face of what I just said, we would have the Super Bowl motocross come to town. We would have Ice Capades. And we'd have Ringling Brothers as well.
And ran the gamut.
See?
Yes.
Wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
I remember every commercial. That's all I remember. Every single commercial. And it was a torturous countdown, too, because Super Bowl motocross coming here July 21st. And it'd still be June, you know, and then you're just counting down. And then it'd be this Saturday, Super Bowl motocross. And I'd just sit there and watch it. Just watch it. Also, it was at the Coliseum, which sounded insanely far from where we lived, even though it was
8 miles maybe the crow flies.
Really, it's the crow flies, like 8 miles from my house. It was a Coliseum. We can't get to the Coliseum. The squarebacks are going to get vapor locked. All right. Hey, Kevin Sorbo, by the way, and his wife are here. Talk about his movie in a second. Andrew, 44, Pullman, Washington.
Hey, Adam, Ball, Gina.
What's going on?
Show, guys?
What's going on?
So Pullman, Washington, we're Eastern Washington. We kind of skirt up against Idaho. I don't really know if there's an economic indicator, but I want to know, coming from a man that was raised on a mud porch, what do you think of people living in pole buildings?
Ooh.
What's a pole building?
Well, wait a minute. That's a stepdad. Man, there's too much swung on this pole here. What's going on? They got a dog. What the hell? Jade, say four. What's a pole building?
It's like an industrial shed. Instead of pole, I guess it's a shed built around timbers, but it's kind of modular, you know? You can put a loft in it, and it can be half garage, half living quarters. It kind of looks like a garage.
Like on stilts?
It's called a pole building. Gary will find us a picture. There's a whole new thing going on out there, which
pole
I kind of like,
homes,
which is like everyone's building different kind of domiciles now. Like there's no more traditional anything.
Tiny houses, prefab, which is good.
All these tree houses and tiny houses and all these prefab buildings and all the,
this is
these
not
kinds
a
of buildings.
But I thought it sort of illustrated what you're.
Yeah, I don't know why we're looking at a picture of what looks like a barn.
They're called pole barn homes.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm seeing on when I search for a pole building.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, picture down. I don't have strong thoughts about it other than we will. I was talking to Lynette about this, which is we will have to be building modular, prefab, whatever homes from this point on. The thought of building a house where you clear a bunch of, you clear a site, you level a site, and then a flatbed truck, and I've been here for these lumber drops a million times. They just drop a pile of wood. Now, to be fair, it's now some plywood and oriented strand board and glue lam beams and some engineered stuff, but it's a lot of 2x4s and 2x6s. They just drop a huge pile of wood, and then a bunch of guys who know what they're doing start constructing a house one stick at a time. There is no difference in this technique of building than our founding fathers and long before them as well. Like literally, what do you do? Well, let's go get some river stones and pile them up and make a footing. We'll dig down into the earth a little. We'll pile these river stones together. Maybe we'll make up some sort of mud or mortar and sort of hold them together. All right, that's a footing. Now we have concrete and rebar, but it's the same thing. Just dig the perimeter out, dig the footing out, and then what? Well, we'll put these logs on top of the stones, you know, and we'll put logs going across. Those are floor joists. You know, instead of 2x4 studs or king studs or trimmers or headers, we'll just have logs. But it's just wood. I mean, theirs wasn't refined and put through a mill and shaped like ours or kiln dried or whatever, but it's just rocks, logs, and then we'll take a roof and we'll put a rake on it so the water will sort of go off it. And back then, they would take slate or stone or something, they'd chip it and they'd put it.
Make shingles?
Yeah, put the bottom ones on first and then overlap the top one and then overlap the next one. This stuff hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. And then how are we going to keep warm? We'll start a fire in the house and we'll have heat or we'll have the windows open and air will come through, whatever it is. The houses we're all living in are that. They're essentially that. Just drywall, gypsum on the inside, stucco or some sort of cladding on the outside, more just a little space with wood. Maybe there's insulation, maybe there isn't, in that little 3.5-inch air gap. If there is, it's R13 or something pretty light with not a lot of R value to it. And then we pump in heat and, you know, we put an alarm system in and we put flat panel TV and stuff like that. But it's really the basic structure is a million years old and it's kind of doesn't work that well. We need to start building. I just met with a guy in Minneapolis about building walls with like bladders that you can control with the R value and all this stuff. Like we need to build spaceships that we can live in. Or again, like picture a brand new Audi S7. Like, look at that car. You didn't build that car in the dirt, piecing it together. It was built in an operating room, and those places are sterile, and it all comes together with precision. And I look at it this way. I pretty much just say, what we're all living in would be the car equivalent to taking your grandfather or your dad's 1950s Oldsmobile or Buick or Ford and taking that same car and then going, we're putting a nav system in it and a modern and a kick-ass stereo that takes a Blu-ray player or something and a screen that comes up and stuff. And we got this cool stereo and we got this cool nav system and we got this cool speaker system and everything. But it's like, yeah, but the car itself is still just an old car. It's just kind of an old technology car. You want the whole thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, think about I guess you could say, you know, a car still has a steering wheel and four wheels on it, but the cars have gone. The houses, the structure's been the same and we keep adding stuff.
Well, and, I think more, from and this, more coveted, too. Oh, my gosh, this is a mid-century, or this was built in the 1920s.
I think from this day forth, in the future, our kids can look forward to ordering their house and having it assembled in 2 days on the lot versus, again, just
custom.
Just I see these houses in my neighborhood. They're like half framed, and then it starts raining, and I see the weird rust things start bleeding down from the nails on the outside, and like some of the plywood's coming a little delaminated, and it's getting some like mildew and stuff in there, and it's like it's not even close. It's out in the open for days, months. Yeah. Like literally, there's cobwebs and stuff inside the bays before they start smashing in the insulation. We gotta be a better way. Modular homes,
pole buildings.
All right, you good?
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, I love you guys.
Yeah, with a nap room.
Yeah.
Boy, am I going to town on this nap room. I'm down with my nap room.
The nobody panic room.
That's right. I'm taking a nap. All right. The movie, Let There Be Light. Kevin Sorbo and his wife, Sam, are here. He's going to talk all about that. Be interested in talking to him about that. First, a little good sports.
One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the latest episode of Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there, Ace. Let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We were talking about Win, Place, Show, our hot new segment where Adam Carolla gives you his win, place, and show choices for whatever the subject is. We did primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. How did that wind up? Blue was your winner circle, your favorite of the three primary colors.
Blue, red, yellow. I'll give you an interesting thing this is reminding me of. You know, all my race cars, all my Paul Newman, Bob Sharp race cars, they're all red, white, and blue. It's great on a flag. It's better on a Z car when you see the red, white, and blue livery. It's a good word. There's a couple of good words.
That's a good one. I like that because it's funny. You see that on the back of license plates, and it has occurred to me over the years. That's one of those words, like, I know I've heard that it's livery, but is it livery? Because it could be livery might make better sense.
Livery is a great sort of probably everything started nautical, but there's two good automotive terms that you should know. Livery, that's, you know, the Tide NASCAR with the Tide logo on it, or the M&Ms, or whatever the iconic whatever is, that's its livery. And
meaning what? Well, I'm sorry, I don't understand it.
One of the most iconic F1 cars ever was a John Player Special. That was the paint scheme, the advertiser. That's what it wore. That's its colors. Like the livery of your Pittsburgh Steelers would be gold and black.
Oh, really?
That's their livery.
Because I thought it was like on limos and stuff, which I then thought meant livery. Well, this is how this person is making his career, a.k.a. his livelihood. That's why I would write livery.
It may have come from that, but like you see the most iconic F1 car ever, the John Player Special, gold and black, the gold and black livery of the John
like
Player
that.
Special. So here's another great name word you're going to like from the world of automotive, homologation.
Homologation. Ooh, la and la.
Yeah.
Homologation.
That means if you would like to enter your car, like your Ferrari, and you say, I don't want to race in the prototype, I want to race in the GT car category. Well, then the sanctioning body says, well, you need to make at least 100 street-going versions of this car, And then you could race in the GT category against the Mustangs and the 911s or the whatever. You can't make up your own car because now you're in the unlimited category. So you homologate that car. You make a 50 versions or 100 versions of street. Now they'll let you race it. But the thing that's interesting about colors is so the biggest Japanese race car teams out here, the Datsun race car teams, were Bob Sharp, Newman Sharp, red, white, and blue. The other one was BRE, Brock Racing Enterprises, red, white, and blue. And maybe the third biggest one was called Electromotive, red, white, and blue. All red, white, and blue. And I thought these are all Japanese. I mean, not the drivers, but the cars are all out of Japan. What a weird coincidence that they're all red, white, and blue liveried. And then I realized... They just got done bombing Pearl Harbor, and they're trying to sell us Datsuns. They should put our flag on the car. That would be helpful.
That was their make nice?
I think it was a make nice mixed with, we'd like to sell some units of these things, and if we do them, you know, white with the rising sun on the roof, that's not going to bring back a lot of great memories. Let's feel American.
I like that. That's pretty interesting.
It worked, and you think about the fact that, you know, Pearl Harbor was, you know, 41, 42? 42.
45. 45, they dropped the bomb.
No, that was
Pearl
Hiroshima.
Harbor, 41. Yeah, 41. 7th, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 41. It's only 25 years later that they're trying to sell these cars, which you kind of go, well, it was a while ago. But what if someone had done something, you know, whatever to us in 1995? They blew up Pearl Harbor in 1995. You wouldn't tend to want to borrow cars from that nation, would you? So they were smart. They went red, white, and blue.
That is a savvy ploy. I like that. I was going to dive in on the secondary colors. I did want to complete the compliment I started yesterday. For all your construction, because it impresses your pals like Ray, that you know how to swing the hammer, the thing that you have a keen eye for, really, few seem to possess it. You have a bold flair for colors on walls and floors around your homes. I remember, so at the old party house, your upstairs bedroom had those midnight blue walls. Remember that? Yeah. Who would ever think to do that? But it looked awesome. It looked so good. And it was, you have to look at it. What is that shade? Oh, it's dark blue. I would never think to buy that and throw it on a wall in a bedroom. But it was like a blanket. You know, it was great to go, especially for a bedroom. It was wonderful.
Well, the party house. If anyone's ever lucky enough to get a second party house, you can kind of try and experiment and do whatever you want with it. Like, you know, having a 22-year-old girlfriend when you're in your 50s, you know what I mean? Go ahead and try out that tennis bracelet or that new sex position, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, at home, you gotta play it a little more down the middle, you know what I mean? You got to choke up on the bat, make contact, see if you can get a stand-up double. But the party house, I was able to truly express myself as a gay artist.
Well, then also your Lake Hollywood house... perched atop the hill there. It was spectacular. You did so many cool things around that place, but one of my favorites was on the wood floors, the runway to the kitchen, whatever you call that little hallway thing, you painted that light mint green, and it looked so good, you know? And who would do that on a floor? Well, Adam Carolla did it, but it looked divine.
Yeah, you know, it's thank you, and I love that part of life, the design and the aesthetic part of life. The problem I've realized, and it's probably the curse, and I'll end up taking it to my grave, and I'm sure I'll never be appreciated in my lifetime. But the problem, there's two things. So when you're a comedian, we've talked about, you're rendered useless by society for everything. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say, oh, let's see. Oh, no, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, he's a wonderful mechanic or carpenter or something like that, or a Marty Allen. Boy, could that guy, toughest Taekwondo champion, like, ever. You just go, oh, come on. Come on,
I mean,
guy,
graded on a scale. I mean, graded on a curve, maybe, but he's not actually.
He does
right.
one thing.
Right.
When you do comedy, you do one thing. And look, and we know guys like Jeff Ross and all those guys, they do one thing. That's it. Like, so the problem with doing comedy is you tell people, oh, I used to teach boxing or be a carpenter or something like that, and they laugh you out of the room. Like, oh, come on, you don't build, but you don't really build the thing. I don't know who the people are that have to, like, try to talk you out of your accomplishments. Who built the studio? I built it. You built it? I built it. Alone? No, well, there's one drifter who blew into town, but we didn't talk. And it was like, no, yeah, I had guys.
And upon completion, I murdered him and buried right. him 15 feet from here.
So you built it with other people? Well, no, I mean, yeah, I didn't. Well, so did you actually hang the drywall? I don't know why these people are trying to get you to just break down and go, oh, you're right, I'm a fraud. I did nothing. I'm going to go home and kill myself. So when you're a comedian, you can't do anything else. So that's strike one. When you're a carpenter, when you're the person that actually does the constructing, the actual building, you can have no taste.
It is. I watch that all the time, and I think that's what's interesting. Is that, I guess that's what I was kind of getting at. It's weird. Like Ray, actually, Ray has an aesthetic sense himself,
yes.
which is odd, but he's more beast than he is man, as I always say.
Yes.
And in that atmosphere, it must feel like it's not macho to be like, you know what would go great over there is if you were to go with a eggshell over there, that would really look nice on that as well. Like, why do you know? Aren't you supposed to be a guy?
Right.
I get messages like that if I weigh in. Oh, I said the other day on my show that I think Grease 2 is better than Grease. And then a lot of people hit me up on Twitter. Oh, you're crazy for thinking that. And then there was some percentage of fellas, though, like, oh, the correct answer is neither. Why would you have seen either one? Like, I know, tough guy. That hey, OG. I know that that stuff doesn't permeate your macho brain, but I have observed a musical in my life.
I'll show you. I'll tell you what should permeate your macho brain.
Oh,
BetDSI, man, 20 years, 20 years paying winners, A+ rated on sportsbook review sites. I play there myself. I recommend BetDSI to all our listeners. Use your sports knowledge to make extra cash. Easy to use mobile playing interface. Play, win, get paid. That's all you got to do at BetDSI. Odds on all things football, including live betting and props as games are in action. That is the greatest part ever. You can bet after the game starts. Imagine if you could do that with horse racing. And all major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much anything you like, you can bet at BetDSI. Use the code GOOD25, that's GOOD25, for $25 free wager just for registering. I use them to remember I told you KC was going to slide. They lost one. I said they'll lose two. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, they're unbeaten. They're the toughest team. Now the lowly Raiders.
Don't get crazy. Would everybody get so crazy with what happens in the first month of the season?
Yeah.
Settle down.
Decide to deposit and get a 200% bonus match on your money. That's BetDSI. Promo code GOOD25. Get the $25 to wager and the 200% extra bonus when you deposit. All right, Chuck.
All right, we could go on and on here, but we do have tomorrow former hockey star slash he was a mixer. You know how Sal is a mixer? You know, he just makes trouble everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Sean Avery used to do on the NHL rinks. So we'll kibitz with him, and I have another good sports question for you coming up later in the week. For now, though, Podcast One Sports, presentation of Good Sports. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Good Sports.
I'm Allie Hilfiger.
And I'm Steve Hash.
And we're the hosts of Sit-In on Podcast One.
Join us as we travel around the world visiting creative people in their homes, studios, and the places they work to discuss their story, process, and basically everything in between.
We're sitting down with the biggest names in the world of fashion, art, and music like Tommy Hilfiger, Gigi Hadid, Bryan Adams, Martin Lawrence Ballard, and Zanna Roberts.
Check out new episodes of Sit-In every week exclusively on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat.
Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Glendale, Arizona. A 44-year-old man faces charges of disorderly conduct and indecent exposure after he allegedly urinated on a family sitting in front of him at a Metallica concert! Definitely not a Jew!
Kevin Sorbo and his beautiful wife, Sam Sorbo, in studio.
She likes that feature.
Yeah, it's a good feature. Thanks to good people from Alcoa for sponsoring it for all these years.
Long-running
sponsor. Let There Be Light, name of the movie, in theaters this Friday, October 27th. 300 theater release. Congratulations. That's a big release. I mean, not big
for an
Guardians
indie,
of the Galaxy,
okay.
But for an
indie with no money?
We didn't have $250 million budget. So
we didn't have the budget that you had to put together this tremendous man cave that I'm sitting in right now. This place is amazing.
I got to say, like, as a guy who's made a few independent movies, just having a release these days is a good,
that's
a good thing that's not straight to DVD or straight to VOD. And then also they'll do, like, the way they do it is they'll do two in Chicago, three in LA, and four in New York, and see if it trickles out to the rest of the country. So 300's nice. How do you arrive at 300, and who's making the decisions?
Want to take that one?
It's apparently it's all on my shoulders. No, I put together a team to guide the distribution of the film, and it was based on the amount of money that we had, and it was a matter of timing. So we had some extra funds that came in, so we bumped it up from 250. But we're comfortable at three. We're actually over 300 now. And we're hoping that it grows after that because the movie's really good. If you go on the website, lettherebelightmovie.com, and you watch some of the testimonial videos, we've got so many people who are just gushing about how moving and how uplifting the story is and the movie is. And so hopefully it'll grow from the three something that we
and
have.
And you know
now.
How this is. I mean, it really comes down to word of mouth. I did a movie 3 years ago. It's called God's Not Dead. It's a little $2 million movie. It made over $70 million U.S. alone. And it started on 700 screens. And by the third week, it was up to 2,000 screens. That doesn't happen. I mean, it just kept going up. It was pretty amazing.
Well, you know, there's this thing that I constantly think about, which is my sort of, it's my sort of restaurant theory, which is like if there's a street and it's covered with Mexican food joints, then open a Thai food joint and stop trying to compete with all the other Mexican food joints. And Kirk Cameron's been smart this way. Tyler Perry made a couple shekels this way, which is like going, not everything's got to be the darling of Sundance. We can find this group of people that is being ignored.
Sure.
I know you're religious. I know you're conservative. Mm-hmm. Those people don't really have product. Hollywood is not cranking out product for them.
They forget about the flyover states, right?
Right. And so you and Kirk Cameron's done the same thing where they go, hey, let's create product for these people who are feeling underserved, and that's where the word of mouth takes place.
I've done a number of either you call them faith-based or family-friendly type of movies, and I used to get stopped all the time because of Hercules or Andromeda. It was a 12-year run between those two shows. Now I go through airports, 80% of the people coming up, now please make more family-friendly movies as I'm going through Dallas, Atlanta, whatever. And it's amazing the difference that has happened over the last 4 or 5 years in terms of people saying what they want me to keep doing. So it's out there. It's just a matter of getting the word out there. We're not in every movie theater showing trailers. We're not on TV. So it comes down
we're
to
here,
people.
We're in the man cave.
But the it's this weird. It's so weird if you live in LA because and you're in this business, you don't think it other. It's like
careful
that you don't know what I'm saying is you don't think other opinions exist. Right. You're so
in a vacuum.
Doused yeah. in yeah. your I
steep.
It's not even a vacuum. It's like it's a vat. A vat.
It's a vat. You're
swimming in a vat of like your own opinions. And so when somebody like it's an echo chamber. Like my sister, I remember a million years ago, she worked at a salon in Silver Lake on Hyperion Boulevard. So it's like the center of the gay universe, where all the thousand points of gay lights converge, was Hyperion at this place. It was a salon. So I said to my sister once, she was like 25, I said, what percentage of the population you think is gay? And she went, 90%. Now, the Corollas didn't excel at math. In her world, it was 100%.
If you watch TV today, you would think that too.
So you go, oh, we don't want to make a movie for these guys. Everyone's making those movies. But then you step outside the bubble. And again, I think it's why everyone here and on each coast, when Trump got elected, everyone's like, oh, my God, what? No.
Yeah, no one here knows a conservative.
No one would vote for that guy. So smart. Oh, smart funny. To make. Product for those people. But is this something, and I know it's slightly newer for you, but were you always a religious person?
Well, I've always been a Christian. I'm just probably not the best one in the world because I don't force my beliefs on people. I have atheist friends. I have agnostic friends. I don't get angry about disagreeing. I just get, to me, it blows my mind. These atheists I see on TV, they're so angry about something they don't believe in. They're offended by a nativity sign or a cross. I'm going, well, look, I don't believe in broccoli, all right? Knock yourself out. It's weird to me. I don't get it. Well, I mean, to me, I'm a live and let live guy. If someone wants to ask me a question, I'll go for it. But I meet people I don't believe in, and I don't get upset. I just go, hey, look, if I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. But if I'm right, see you later. So it's it is what it is.
I'm an atheist, and part of my thing was I never wanted to burn a calorie being an atheist, like the idea of going to a meeting or protesting in front of the courthouse because they have the Ten Commandments posted or something. I thought, this is a huge waste of
You're
my atheist
time.
I'm a atheist.
I agree. Yes.
And also, I tend to feel like whether it's you or Dennis Prager or whatever side you're on religiously, I tend to like those people more. I tend to feel like I'd like my kids to hang out with their kids more. I like where their head's at. I like what they're practicing, hopefully what they're preaching. I tend, as an atheist, tend to be more attracted to those people because of their values.
I might be going way out on a limb here, but I think the Ferguson and all the deaths in Chicago and Baltimore riots, I'm guessing most of them probably weren't religious. It's just a guess. It's just a hypothetical situation.
I like that they're a bunch of I live in a town that has a bunch of churches. I drive past them every day, drunk.
Never seen the inside.
Suckers. But I like
for
it.
For shame.
I like that the community's into
it. Tie things right here.
And I kind of grew up with that weird taste in my mouth, too, because when you atheist, again, it becomes a religion, and it just becomes an anti-religion religion. Sure. And again, not believing is fine, but then turning that into something, it kind of reminds me of like when PETA would say like, hey man, we shouldn't slaughter these whales for their oil, and I'd go like, I'm down with that. And then they'd throw paint on celebrities wearing faux fur, and I thought, now you're jumping the shark a little. And I kind of felt the same way. And as someone who says he's an atheist, they try to recruit me. Like, we're doing a rally. Like, we want you to get in on this. And I don't like that at all.
We don't want to invite you to church, but we want to invite you to the movie theater. It's easier to do that for people.
Oh, yeah.
Let there be light. Sam, am I right that you wrote this?
I co-wrote it, yeah.
You co-wrote it.
Yeah.
And how does one begin this journey? Like, do you sit down and go, I want to write a movie, or do you have an idea and then do it?
I had the idea and I thought, okay, this would be a movie that I want to see. Hollywood turns out a lot of stuff, and most of it I'm not interested in watching. And I got fed up with that. And in fact, I developed a faith-based television series the year before and got that as far as NBC and Sony, who bought it, and then they decided not to produce it. And so I was sort of...
Because it had God in it.
Maybe. So I was just sort of pitching around, and I thought of this idea for the movie, and I thought, okay, the one thing that I learned is I can't do it myself because I need somebody with some Hollywood clout to be a co-writer on the script. So I called Dan Gordon, who's an Oscar-nominated writer, Hurricane with Denzel Washington, and Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner. And I said, hey, Dan, I have an idea for a movie. Would you consider writing it with me? To which he, of course, said no, because he's a really well-known Hollywood screenwriter. And then he said, let's have lunch. And when I told him the idea, he was in from the beginning. And then about 2 weeks later, Sean Hannity called Kevin and said, hey, I want to do a faith-based movie with you. Do you have anything? And so the three of us flew to New York and pitched Sean for about half an hour.
And he wrote a check.
And he wrote a check. So
we started filming 4 months later
in
Alabama.
This is not the typical, I have to say. This is not how this is done. I can't explain it. It's pretty cool that I'm sitting here less than 2 years later with a movie.
What was give us the premise in a nutshell?
The premise is the world's greatest atheist who goes around proselytizing people. He's an active atheist. He's not a lazy atheist.
He's like a Dawkins. He's like a Hitchens. He's a world renowned guy.
And he has a near death experience, and he sees something that just doesn't jive with his worldview. So he has to make sense of that, and he basically spirals out of control. It's a story about. It's a love story. It's a story about fatherhood. It's a story about hope and forgiveness, and it's got a very uplifting message, which is the kind of entertainment that I look for. Is something that where I leave the theater going, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a better person tomorrow, or you know, I feel better about myself or something. I've identified and I see hope, and that's what gets me to go to the theater. So I'm hoping that's what gets other people to
go to
the theater.
There's a lot of storylines. There's a lot of characters I think people will identify with. I mean, look, I love Avengers too with all the visual effects, but a lot of times you walk out of there, about 47 buildings just fell down and about 800,000 people died, but we don't talk about that. But to me, it's like these are characters that people will be able to relate to, and I think they'll enjoy it.
So again, in theaters this Friday, the 27th, 300 theaters. And what you should do is go to the website, lettherebelightmovie.com. And if you go there, then you can find out where the theater is, I'm guessing.
That's correct.
That's near you.
Correctly discerned.
I don't do a lot of releases myself. I'm a VOD man, but I do understand how the game is played.
But for us, you'll go to the theater.
For me, I'll pack up those damn kids and take them to the theater. I agree with you. I like when something's a little uplifting, makes you think a little bit and feel a little bit better. I think there's this part where something happened with art where you had to struggle for your art, or you had to be this tortured, miserable soul.
Look what's coming out of Hollywood
movies.
Now.
Yeah, I don't like bummer movies. There's many movies I haven't seen just because I've realized, like, I think I'm going to be in a bad mood when I leave that movie. And it's probably, in a weird way, why I like a movie like Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks so much, because it is an uplifting movie. It gives a kind of positive, talks about, really, what you need is courage. The universe wants you to have courage and strength. And I love the sort of, spoiler alert, but at the end where he breaks loose and runs to the next tram, and they're all watching going, well, there's courage.
Good enough for you.
Good enough. Yeah. Like, it just spoke to me. All right. Let's do a little news, Gina Grad.
All right.
And you guys hang out and say whatever you want.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the speculation is over. Justin Timberlake is the Super Bowl halftime performer.
He confirmed it with a tweet on Sunday that included a video from his buddy Jimmy Fallon, and it said halftime and halftime. It will be Timberlake's first time on stage at the big game since he was an accomplice in the infamous Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction, also known as Nipplegate, in 2004. Super Bowl 52 takes place on February 4th at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis.
Thank you, my hometown.
Oh, yeah, you're a Minneapolis guy.
I was just home last week. I saw the Vikings beat up on the Packers.
Oh. Are you going to the Super Bowl?
I'm hoping to go to the Super Bowl. I hope they get there. They need a better offense, but their defense is very, very good.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers out of commission.
Yeah. Shouldn't have wrapped him up. That was my argument. Yeah.
No, I know.
The hit was illegal, but I don't like the wrap up. All right. Yeah, I was just in Minneapolis, too. Wasn't
place to be. Yeah, you were just there.
I love that town.
Yeah, it's
a good city.
Place.
It is.
Well, a guy in Canada, we talk a lot about the lottery. Yes.
You know what Timberlake should do if he has any kind of sense of humor at all? It's like when he's talking to the Super Bowl people and they're doing like the wardrobe stuff, he's just wearing super tight dolphin shorts pulled up a little too high with no underwear. And he's like, yeah. So I'm going to come out.
So I'm stage ready.
High boots, kicking up to the sky.
That's right.
And he's going to do it, and his sack's going to like fall out, and he's going to go, don't worry, that's not going to happen during
the
actual
thing.
All right,
he might. He's actually he's a funny dude. Well, a guy in Canada got really lucky when he won $6 million in the lottery and then tried to press his luck by hiding it from his wife and then making a run for it. So just 4 days after Maurice Thibault secretly won the $6 million, he packed his bags, took his passport, and left home. The couple had at that point been living together for over 2 years. So in court, Maurice's wife, Denise, said she and Maurice together dreamt about winning the lottery, planning on buying muscle cars and estates in the country.
Oh,
Denise also remembered that Maurice did about 15 loads of laundry of all his clothes, everything he owned, the night before he took off, as though he were preparing to leave.
Is
her.
My ski mask clean?
He won in secret and he peaced out.
Yeah, she couldn't see that coming.
Yep.
So how does it work in Canadian law? She get half, like,
well,
California, she gets half.
Yeah,
right?
they're together.
Yeah, the marriage is an asset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He gets to keep the 15 loads of laundry.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if they screw you over there like they do here, where they go, what's the lottery up? The Powerball's up to $100 million. Somebody won. And then they go, all right, would you like $47 million?
Yeah.
Or would you like $10,000 a day for 121 years?
Why wouldn't they do that?
They go, like, well, how about the $100 million? Like, whatever's up on the tote board, whatever you guys are talking about in the commercial, I'll take that.
How did he think that he could get away with this? He's literally married to her legally.
Yeah.
He's, that's just ridiculous. And then he, and how's he going to collect the money and not have her, like, just
he's real dumb.
Hey, honey, I need you to fill some paperwork for me.
Just sign here.
Yeah.
It's like Radar and MASH, right?
Yeah, the great thing about dumb people, when dumb people run into cash, they can never hide their it. Because, I picked up a Bentley.
I always wear these gold leaf sweatpants.
You're a Mason. Well, I saved my money. Like, they always screw up, and the feds always catch them. Everyone always catches them because they can't not get a car and put fur on the outside of it.
I got to say, I'm sorry to admit this, but I kind of hope that she sues in court and gets the whole lot of it.
Duh.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You frauds.
Right? Right?
And that they don't waste it all on lawyers.
The irony is it's all going to be
gone.
It
will all be gone.
True. Well, the Bleacher Report says that Boston Celtics point guard Kyrie Irving has reportedly been fined $25,000 for yelling profanity at a Philadelphia fan who asked him, where's LeBron? After the Celtics defeated the 76ers on Friday night.
He gets that much per dribble. That's nothing.
So it's a little hard.
Let's all guess what his answer is.
It's lovely. It's a little hard to hear, but here's the audio.
Kyrie said that?
Suck his dick. That's what he said.
Wow.
So he acknowledged the outburst, but when he asked if he regrets it, he simply replied, hell no. $25,000
is nothing. Hey, man, show her the juggies.
Suck their titties. I mean.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you. I love the show, by the way.
It's like.
I don't know. I feel like if somebody heckles you, you should be able to heckle them back.
Sure.
Why not?
Why does he have to take the high road?
Yeah, I agree. And they're not politicians. They're athletes. Yeah. Who cares? And it just makes for more fun.
It's always hide behind. The excuse is always, hey, he paid for his ticket. Say whatever he wants. Like, oh, you should be able to, if you say something, it might be said back
to
you.
He was asked a question, and he gave an answer. I don't see a problem
here. You would have been rude to ignore the guy.
Exactly.
We're in a homosexual relationship. That's the problem.
And mathematically, a lot of the guys in the NBA can be down on the court and still get a blowjob, even if you have a cheap seat.
You're right.
Even if you're up in the balcony. Man,
yeah. Yeah. I can't believe you went there. Yeah. I'm sitting right here.
You're right.
He's not used to having a lady in the room.
Oh,
that's the
Carla.
Well, President Trump might have his first challenger in the 2020 presidential election. Mark Cuban, the billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks and star of TV's Shark Tank, says he's seriously considering running for president in 2020 and would challenge Trump for the Republican nomination. In an interview with Fox News, Cuban said he's been thinking about it for a while and hasn't completely made up his mind. He says, I wouldn't run unless I have solutions. If I have solutions, then I have something to offer. If I don't, you won't see me anywhere near being a politician. He describes himself as socially centrist but fiscally conservative.
That
shocks me. I know Mark, and I also thought he was sort of a liberal, and we've had interesting conversations. That's interesting to me.
Well, I love him because when my movie came out, The Hammer, I think his company...
Magnolia.
Magnolia, yeah.
Yeah, they offered me $1.
There you go.
That's cool.
They didn't give you a very good valuation on Shark Tank.
He's a sharp businessman.
Is
there no more Weinstein stories in there? Is that all dead now or something? I've got my sexual harassment story.
Really?
Yes, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
More than anything.
Johnny Versace.
Oh, really?
I was living in Italy at the time, and I was dating way before her name is Sam, so I say it's BS. It's before Sam. So I was doing some commercial work and some fashion work, and I met Versace. He wanted to meet me because of my height at 6'3". He wanted me doing his fashion shows with these 6-foot tall women. And so I get invited. I'm in my apartment in Milan. I get a call, and I go, hello. He goes, ciao, Kevin. It's Johnny. I go, Johnny. He goes, Versace. Says, the car waiting for you. Come to my party. So I go to this party. I meet Sophia Loren, Pavarotti. I meet Richard Gere. I mean, everybody. It's unbelievable. Next night, he calls me again. Another party, like 15 people at dinner. Next night, calls me again. 4 people. Next night, calls me again. Just Johnny and myself.
Just you and Johnny.
So we're sitting there at this little restaurant in San Babila.
I didn't made the final four.
I'm in the championship game.
Yeah.
We're sitting there talking, and I knew he was talking about his campaign. I'm going to put you in GQ. You'll be famous everywhere, all my commercials. And all of a sudden, his hand goes on my leg, and I said, dude, you know I'm straight. He goes, this is why I like you. You're not a girly man. You are a men's man. And I said, well, there's just no way it's going to happen. And he said, oh, in life, you must fuck everything, he said. You must do the dog and the cat and the boy and the girl. You must do everything. I said, Johnny, look, you're on this road. I'm on this road my whole life. He says, I build a bridge.
Wow.
Oh, it really brings people together.
The bridge was never built. And I never got the campaign. But
And it's weird because Trump said he's going to build a wall.
That's right.
But you built a wall around your junk and he's trying to build a bridge.
I got 4 free dinners. It was all right.
Wow.
Sad that just 11 years later, Kevin had to hire that gay guy to kill him on the steps of the show.
Extreme.
Obviously, he doesn't speak about that on the air.
Did not just go there.
So sad. So sad. I'll build.
I did not do that.
I will. No. You paid the gay drifter. You didn't do it yourself. Obviously, you don't get your hands dirty. Kevin's sober over there. I will build a bridge to nutrition by telling you about Onnit, man. You heard me talk about Onnit before. Amazing supplements like Alpha Brain, the Buffalo Meat Warrior Bars, the MCT oil. Love this stuff. Take a shot of that MCT oil before you leave the house. It really curbs the hunger. Onnit CEO Aubrey Marcus did a Take a Knee, our inspirational podcast that you guys can check out. I'll play a little clip of that, shall we, Dawson?
You know, I had an experience. It was about the 10th time where ayahuasca took me down this path where it was like, you know what? Not only you're going to die, it's that you never mattered. It's like, you're nothing. You're the gum on nothing's shoe. You're water borrowed from the ocean and the ocean forgot. You're completely worthless. And so I had to surrender. Like, even in my death, I had some idea like, well, I lived well. I'll leave a legacy. Some people will remember me. I was like, nah, bitch, you're nothing.
All right. They filmed the entire thing. You can watch the podcast and behind the scenes mini doc and check it all out for free. Onnit.com/Adam. And while you're there, you get 10% off your entire order. They have everything you need for great nutrition. Take a knee, and you can check out that episode for free. Go to onnit.com/Adam. That's O-N-N-I-T.com/Adam. All right, let's do another.
All right, well, speaking of fashion, Tommy Hilfiger just launched Tommy Adaptive. It's a clothing line specifically designed for disabled consumers. The clothing features things like adjustable seams, Velcro, magnetic closures, and openings that make it easier for adults with mobility issues to dress themselves or for caretakers to assist them. None of this has been at the expense of fashion, of course, with everything from jean skirts to dresses to chinos, bomber jackets, everything. The look, it looks almost identical to the, quote, regular sportswear offerings, and it is Tommy Adaptive.
I had this thought the other day. Anything more uncomfortable and sort of less practical than a jean jacket? Like, correct. Jean jackets have been around for a million years. No, everyone loves them, but they're weird. Like, they're not.
I don't like them.
Not good,
no,
right?
Not comfortable, not flattering. Well, boxy silhouette.
Here's a thought. Will I ever wear a jean jacket ever again?
The answer
may be no. Ever since I got that one that Kimmel gave me that you can smash up and put it inside a sandwich bag and then puffs out. I wore it in your own Minneapolis.
Oh, did you?
We're walking down to Kramerchek's over there, the Polish joint, to have some pierogies and
kielbasa. Can be a little chilly in the winter, though.
Be a little chilly. Yeah.
Wait, it's a collapsible denim jacket?
No, it's a jacket. I mean, not the one. I was looking at Dr.
It's
Drew.
From the Leno collection.
And he was wearing. No, I will never wear another denim jacket since Kimmel got me his jacket.
Oh, okay.
A denim jacket. Right. Sorry, since his jacket, which is the
Chrissy has one of these.
It's super lightweight down ones that mash into nothing. You shake them out.
It's like a garbage bag that
doesn't feel like it's anything.
It's a garbage bag.
It's awesome.
Fashionable.
Also, I feel about fashion. All we do is go back and revisit times that we made fun of 35 years earlier.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are we really doing? And is anyone designing anything that, like, I do men's suits. Men's suits are the same.
Yeah,
they've always been the same.
Yeah.
And we can all realize that whatever people were wearing in Italy in 1922 is about the height, and they would just get one of those.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, it goes around. What goes around comes back around, but they still have to make money, and so they are going to try to convince you that the suits today are completely different than the suits 5 years ago, and that's why you need many more of them. And it's the same with everything in fashion. That they have to.
Well, it's like an iPhone. Like, you have to have pleats or it's horrible. Oh, God, get rid of those pleats! Like, they just decide every couple years.
Right.
I don't like that they come with an extra button. I've never in my life used the extra button that comes with the suit, the jacket button. I've never used it, but I cannot throw it away.
I have a whole box.
You'd be an insane person to throw it away, but it's never been used. And it's just floating around my desk drawer. The other one they do is I'll wear a jacket for years and then realize they stitched a pocket clothes. They put a stitch like it's the, I don't know, think of the like the coroner doing it to your eyelid or something. Or like you're on a maritime disaster before they send you to Davy Jones locker. They put the stitch in there. All right, anyway. And then also people think I have thoughts like, hey, do you want the in the back of the jacket?
Right.
Do you want the one flap or do you want the double? Do you want the double or the one? And I say the same thing that I say to the barber. You want the back of your head round or you want it square? I'm like, however you like it. I never look
at the back of my head.
I always say, what is it now? And he goes, it's kind of in between.
I'll keep it that way.
You ever get a barber that critiques your last haircut except for he did it? And it's a weird thing for you to go, you know, that is your work that you're crapping all over. That's the last guy, I don't know if he didn't have the right equipment
or
he's a little distracted.
Yeah.
It was you.
Well, earlier this week, actually the end of last week, Southwest Airlines flew their very first unmanned flight, according to Yahoo News. And by unmanned, I mean that the entire crew was female. The captain, the co-pilot, the flight attendants, all women on October 18th from St. Louis to San Francisco. They even tweeted a picture of the unmanned flight. And
that
it's
must have been
voyage.
For my birthday.
You know, Sam.
Oh,
Sam,
they did it to there you go.
Sam was just on Southwest, and the flight attendant had a pretty funny thing to say about.
If you want to inflate your vest, blow into this tube, and if you want to deflate it, consult the New England Patriots or Tom Brady.
That's good. Southwest always tries out their material. That's good. Thank
you.
That'd be
an uncomfortable conversation for the captain and the co-pilot to have with the Southwest stewardesses or what do we call them now?
Flight attendants.
Like they had to be going. Awesome, right? That it's, we're all, look at us, it's just women, just, and then they had to be like, well, you guys kind of always been doing your thing back there. Right. We're sort of the awesome part of this.
The only part that was, there have been many, 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 many flights that have been
many that have three chicks back there.
Serving up the drinks.
It's not, really the up here part.
But we all did it together.
You've been doing this for a while. This is kind of my first time.
I just say we're all here and it's hard to really sign an order to anybody.
I think
all...
it's kind of sexist to point it out, frankly.
But the funny thing is, when they talked about the flight and taking off, they put on the man voice like this. The flight coming in. They all do that. Is there some school for that or every pilot?
Their authoritative
voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Christian Leitner, like high-fiving Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson on the Dream Team. We did it, you guys!
We did it!
You kind of did.
Well, dating site saucydates.com.
Hold on.
Yep.
Brian, I haven't brought this up, but Brian sent... I was literally talking to Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, and Seeker of Pleasure. We've expanded his nickname, Fondalier.
Enjoyer of Winter
over there, about flying Southwest and about switching some flights around when you sent over an email, as we spoke about some deal with Southwest for locals. But I never really got to the bottom of it.
Oh, this is a good on-the-air conversation. Southwest is having a really like remarkable deal where at first it was just targeted. Like if they sent you an offer, if you sign up for their credit card and you live in California, you'd get their companion pass for a year, which is 2-for-1 flights for wherever you go, which is really valuable. Thousands of dollars on how much you fly. And then they expanded it to everyone in California, and it's on their website, which is crazy. So I suggested to Matt, and I emailed you and Fondalier and August. I was like, hey, considering how often Adam and August and all of us really fly on Southwest, Phoenix and Reno and everywhere, Vegas and all this stuff, we'd be stupid not to get this deal because we cut our flight costs in half.
And well, it's good till the end of the month, right?
Yes, it is. You can sign up through the end of November. I'm not getting paid for this, obviously, but the deal goes
they
for the,
should.
You get the companion pass for the next year.
Well, there better not be a finite number of these because you just told everybody.
Yeah, right.
There's on their website. They probably want people to sign up.
Yeah. All right, we'll do it.
So we'll get going on that.
Well, dating site saucydates.com surveyed more than 22,000 international members to find out which countries had the best lovers, which would be a 10, and the worst lovers, which would be a 0. According to the survey respondents, the best male lovers can be found in 1, 2, 3 countries. Any guesses?
I say it's going to be the places that have the least innovation and make the worst car.
Interesting.
If they make cars at all.
Guam.
That makes it great lover?
Yeah, like, I feel like the places with the kick-ass space programs and the Autobahn burning cars. And maybe Italy will get in there. I'll say... none of these places will have a space program.
Right.
That's my argument. That's my argument.
That's solid, and we've talked about this before, but surprisingly...
They need a wine country. I'm going to say Chile.
The best male lovers can be found in Australia, South Africa, and the good old U.S.
of A. Yeah, we're number 3.
Number 3.
The best female lovers.
Hold on. No space program, the first two that I'm aware
Australia
of.
And South Africa.
Let's check with Gianni Versace and see who he thinks is the best male lovers.
Mm-hmm. Female, the top prize went to Canada, France, Italy, and the U.S. And for the worst, this is interesting.
Wait. The female is?
Females, Canada, France, Italy, and USA.
Canada. All that's right. Why that Canadian chick was so upset that her lover absconded with the money.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So this is weird. Australia made the very tip top of the list. New Zealand at the bottom.
Oh. Wow.
The worst male lovers. They ranked higher than, for male and female. So they ranked at about a 6.
Who does these tests?
22,000 people who took this survey. The lowest in the female love department were Australia and Spain. So Australia, the guys, yes, the girls, not so much.
Kevin, where did Hercules shoot?
New Zealand.
Oh.
Can you verify or deny?
You singularly had to. He left. Average.
He left.
Because he doesn't live there anymore.
I was the only one that lifted him up.
They brought in a ringer.
Yep. Well, let's just stay on the sex theme for a little bit. Doctors are finding that the number of middle-aged men who injure themselves while having sex is on the rise, and they say adventurous sex is to blame for the spike. Most of the injuries are occurring in the shower, including neck injuries, wrist fractures, ankle sprains, and back problems.
There's no traction.
Yeah.
There's no traction.
Yeah.
Doctors are also finding that more and more people are suffering hernias when the muscles of the pelvic region become strained.
Yeah, the thing,
You're really doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All other sports, other physical activities let you know when things aren't, you know, like pick up basketball games and stuff. Your body kind of lets you know.
Right. Yeah. You're not up to it.
I remember seeing, like, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. I can't remember if it's in my improv troupe or something, but it's like both knees, like the skin removed from both knees, you know? And I said, what'd you do? You fall off your scooter or something? Like, no, I was having sex all night last night. And it was like, on the carpet, just wore it off. You know what I mean?
But he fell off his scooter, but he wanted a better story to tell you.
Wow.
It's a good point. This guy was like the sex. The point is
he wasn't from New Zealand. I can tell you that.
Yeah. No, she wasn't. Oh, no, he wasn't. That's right. Okay. Yeah, Australia's what I'm thinking of. But it struck me that you cannot experience pain when you have a boner this way, or at least it cuts it down quite a bit. And thus, because any other activity, like if you're watching TV and someone just showed up with the scrubby side of a sponge and attempted to remove the skin from your knees, you'd feel it.
Yeah, it would be the worst.
It wouldn't just start bleeding, and then they'd move on to the next one. So I think it makes you think you can do things you can't do, and also you don't experience pain, the kind of pain you would experience if you were just... You're outside and you're cleaning the gutters out and you feel a stitch in your side, like you get off the ladder and you stop. But in the shower, you go, I can
power through.
I'm going to dig this out.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because you're shocked you're having sex.
Yeah. You're shocked you're having sex.
I'm going to plow through this.
Literally. So I think that's where the injuries really
occur. That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Well, some number crunchers over at ESPN thought it would be fun to figure out just how much food it took to feed an entire NFL team. They visited the Buffalo Bills and got a sense of what's going on in that cafeteria. So there's 53 players on each active roster, 10 players on the practice squad, many of whom weigh more than 300 pounds. And then there's the coaching staff and the support staff. So in order to feed all of them, it takes 1,500 pounds of meat and more than 500 pounds of vegetables per week. The meals are really heavy on the protein. The kitchen staff cooks 24 rotisserie chickens a day, which breaks down to about 700 pounds of chicken a week. They also import 600 pounds of grass-fed beef from New Zealand and serve more than 250 pounds of fish. And all that doesn't even cut down account with the smoothie bars and the shakes. They do about 60 of those a day.
Did you ever have... team dinners before games, like pasta feeds and things like that?
Carbo load?
No, we did. We never did that. We just went to, there was like a place called like the subcontractor or somebody. Just go there and get a sub sandwiches or something before the game.
As a team or like, or just kind of go?
Just me and five guys from the team or something.
The couple years I played football, before the Friday night for games on Saturday, pasta for dinner. The whole thing is from the cafeteria and just spaghetti for dinner.
Oh, really? Well, we would always play Friday nights, so maybe that screwed it up for us.
We didn't have lights, but we, Saturday.
Oh, you didn't have lights?
Mm-hmm. We were in a neighborhood.
Nighttime football is always awesome.
Yes, it was always awesome. We got to go to another team's stadium and play on Friday night. That was sweet.
That and the weird, rare occasion when it would rain. I would always look forward to that, that too. All right. Predictable, Gina Grad, but still interesting. Let's bring it home.
That'll be the name of my autobiography. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Let me tell you about True Car, man. You want to save money on a new car? You want to save money on a used car? You go with True Car. Over 700 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Whether you want new or whether you want used, you go with True Car. You get discounts off of list price. You get a better buying experience. You find out what other people paid for the car, and you get a fair price, apples to apples. Figure out what the cars are, the options are. Figure out what everyone else paid for it. Lock in your price with your local certified dealer. Enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Our own Chris Loxamana did that with his Prius over here, just 200 miles on that bad boy. So when you're ready to buy, and you want to buy either new or you'd like to buy used, it does not matter. You just go to True Car, you lock in your price, you get your certificate, and you go pick up your car. No haggling. It's True Car. Some features not available in all states. All right. Let there be light, our Sorbo friends.
Thank you.
Put out another majestic film in theaters. That is this Friday the 27th in over 300 theaters around the country. Go to Let There Be Light. GoodSportsMovie.com and support good people, good Americans with good values, and expose the kids to some good values these days. I got to watch the news and hear about all this horribleness. Let's get back to some good values, shall we? And again, yes. LetThereBeLightMovie.com. You guys come in anytime you like. Plug whatever projects you got. Now, Friday, Bakersfield, Tembler Brewing Co. We'll do a live podcast there. And then Sunday, November 12th, Oxnard Levity Live with Doug Benson will be live there. Go to Corolla Drinks and say hi to Lynette over there. And just hit us up at AdamCorolla.com and bookmark us and all that good stuff. Until next time, this is Adam Corolla for Kevin Sorbo, Sam Sorbo, Gina Grant, and Paul Bryan, and Jim Ross saying mahalo.
You're not a girly man. You are a men's man.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take a Knee. You'll get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click on the link at adamcarolla.com. Live in Bakersfield this Friday night. Get your tickets for that and everything else at our website, adamcarolla.com.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.